Would encourage you to open your bulletin. There is an insert in there which we will be singing in the process of our lesson this morning, as well as the other song that Richard mentioned. You know, we all know about the Great Commission. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 19, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you." The problem with that commission is that as we look at our work here in Dowagiac and as we look at the world in general, the methodology becomes an issue. How do we do that? We're not all preachers who can stand on street corners and do what Paul did. And it's important to understand that the message was not given just to Paulites. It was given to individuals like us. What we do is we look at other passages to determine how we do these things. I'd like to suggest to you three other commissions this morning. Three other things that we need to look at, things that we need to be concerned about individually and collectively. And I hope in the process of this that it will be helpful to you as we think about how we can do a better job, both as individuals and also as a congregation. The first of the other commissions I'd like to suggest to you is the things that Jesus said about going and learning. Go and learn. Learn what? In Matthew 9, beginning with verse 10, the Bible tells us that while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" You know, it's interesting because these guys knew their Bible. These were Pharisees and scribes. They were people that understood Scripture. They could regurgitate the Bible. But Jesus responds, it is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn. Go and learn what this means. See, he's talking to us. He's talking to people of the book. And then he quotes Hosea in Hosea 6 and verse 6, where God says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." See, these guys knew their Bible, but they didn't know God. They knew their Bible, but they didn't know God. They needed to learn about God. And Jesus always emphasized and complimented Bible knowledge. But he was more concerned about application. In Matthew 23 and in verse 23, "Woe to you scribes, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and forgiveness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." You know, in that day and time, you had to be careful what you drank. There were so many flies and so many gnats around that when you drank fruit juice, the bugs were in it. And lots of times they strained out the bugs, and everybody knew about that. But in this case, Jesus is talking about the camel of legalism. You strain out the gnat, you swallow the camel. That must have invoked some smiles. But it's important to understand that Jesus is talking here about knowing God. Learning about God. And there are so many ways that comes to us. In Luke 18, beginning with verse 18, we have a young ruler who had a lot of money. And he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus quotes the commandments. And the young man says, all of these I have kept. I've done all the right things. I have followed the letter of the law perfectly. And I expect that he was expecting Jesus to say, well, you got it made, my friend. But instead, Jesus says, sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me. And the Bible says the man's face fell. Why did it fall? Because he was learning something he didn't understand. He was learning about priorities. He was learning that God wants us to use what God has given us. We need to learn what that means. I think sometimes we aren't blessed because God sees us not using what we have. Jesus, after this happened, says to everybody around him how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And they said, well then, you know, we've all got stuff. Who can be saved? And Jesus says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. This is about priorities, is what Jesus is saying. The message to us is to use what God has given us. Learn to use what you have. You know, it's so important to see that being acted out in our congregation. I know this will probably embarrass Willard a little bit, but I've seen Willard do things for people that I don't think anybody knows about. I saw him give a car to people that had a real problem. I've seen him bless people who didn't use what he gave them well. We need to learn that nature of God. We need to learn the fact that what we do here is something that is done for God's, not for God's benefit, but for our benefit. There's the story in Mark 2, beginning with verse 23. They were on the Sabbath, the Bible says. And Jesus and his followers were walking through grain fields, and his disciples picked and ate some heads of grain. And the Pharisees start screaming about this violation of the law. I want you to listen to what Jesus says there. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We need to learn something, brothers and sisters. Sunday was made for us. We weren't made for Sunday. Sunday is something that is given to us for our benefit. It's not a legalistic religious holiday. My father was an atheist in part because his legalistic father, if he bounced a ball on Sunday, would whip him. The legalistic concept of why we're told to gather together, what the purpose is. It's our use. It's our benefit. We need to be together. Why do we have Bible study? We need to learn. You know, it's so important to understand that our Bible studies aren't great sermons. The teachers are not great teachers. When we get together on Wednesday night and we're talking about miracles, there's discussion. When Carl's leading us in the book of Acts, we've been in the book of Acts for, I don't know, a year, maybe more. And what's involved is I don't think I've ever come here and studied something in the book of Acts where I didn't get hit with something I never saw before. We need to understand that God has called us to study His Word for our benefit. When we miss, we are the losers, not God. Communion is for our benefit. In 1 Corinthians 11, we quote this passage a lot. In verse 30, we don't quote a lot. Because after talking about the importance of the Lord's Supper, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:30, that is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. We need that time of reflecting upon the sacrifice that was made for us. We need that time of having a focus on the death and the resurrection of Christ. We need to learn that these things are for our benefit. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25, we read the passage we hear quoted a lot. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. But then the last part of that verse, let us encourage one another. You need encouragement? I do. You need a time to reflect upon the good things that God has given you? I do. In your bulletin, there's an insert. This is one of my favorite songs. I sing to this self, sing this to myself a lot. And it's not in our songbook, or I'd have had us lead. It's not. I think we can sing the chorus together. Maybe we should try that. But I want you to look at the lyrics of this song. I've had many tears and sorrows. Haven't you? I've had questions for tomorrow. Haven't you? There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. How many times have you prayed to God about a decision? Weren't sure what was right. But then it says, but in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that for my trials only come to make me strong. I've been a lot of places. I've seen so many faces. But there have been times I felt so all alone. You ever felt alone? I told you the story after Phil died. I thought, okay, I'm going to do all the things I never got to do because I've always had responsibilities. So I started hiking the Appalachian Trail, and I went 15 miles up the trail. I was going to do the whole thing sometime and sat down on a stump and thought, you know, this isn't much fun. Being alone, not much fun. But in that lonely hour, that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was His own. Sing this with me. I think you could, this is a very simple melody. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And then look at this next stanza. So I thank God for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. You been through any storms? You know, I look across this audience and I see people that are in storms right now. I see people that have been in storms that, you know, the clouds never really go away. He goes on and he says, because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God can solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in His Word can do. Let's sing it again. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Yes, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Why do you think the author put that last one in there three times? You know, dealing with life and with the storms of life can only be handled if we learn to trust in Jesus. And when we don't do those things that Jesus talked about, we can't be used effectively by Him to preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We need to learn. Now, apathy and lukewarmness make Jesus sick. We know that passage, but I want you to listen to the word here. Revelation 3, verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. Apathy and lukewarmness make Jesus sick. Not angry, sick. There's a difference. And apathy is so hard to overcome. And it comes to us in different ways. We were in Parkersburg, West Virginia, in a lectureship not long ago. And I have an old friend, Dan Cooper. Dan's a preacher in New Jersey. He's been very successful as a preacher. I wish I had his enthusiasm. I wish I had his drive. I wish I wasn't as apathetic and lukewarm as I am sometimes. We sat down to eat. There was myself and Dan and two other preachers that were with us. And the waitress came over and I wonder how you would have reacted to this. I know how I reacted. And she said hello, and Dan greeted her and said, we got four preachers here, ma'am. What's your name? And she told her his name, and he said, I think it was Lois. And he said, well, Lois, what would you like for us to pray about for you? And I have to be honest with you, I almost felt like crawling under the table at that point. That's not me. That's not my nature. Why? I guess I'm too apathetic. I guess I don't seize on the opportunities. And she looked kind of shocked for a minute, and then she says, well, my daughter's really, really sick. I would be thrilled if you would pray for my daughter. And I'll tell you something, that whole atmosphere changed. I think that's the kind of thing that we fail to realize. Go and learn. Learn how to share. Learn how to be joyous, to not be ashamed. We sang that song, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. I struggle with that sometimes. I'm a recluse. Cindy will tell you, she has a hard time with me on that. And it's one of those things that you have to grow into, and we need to learn. So I guess I preached this first section of the sermon to me this morning, and I hope maybe it helps you a little bit. There's a second commission Jesus gives, and this is to go and show. In Matthew 8 and verse 4, a man is cured of leprosy. And Jesus says to him, go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony. When there was an opportunity to demonstrate the beautiful thing that God had done in a person's life, Jesus says, don't hide it. Go and show it. In this case, it was a conformity to the law. And the purpose of the law was to publicize what God had done and to make sure that the cure was real. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is John 9, where there was a man that was healed by Jesus. Man who had been blind since birth. And what happened here was that the man was healed on the Sabbath. So there's this big uproar among the religious legalists of the day. The first thing they do is they try to deny that he was blind. That didn't work very well. He'd been sitting there for years. The second thing they try to do is that they try to get him to somehow condemn Jesus. And so they come after him with all these questions. And this is the blind man who has been healed by Jesus. And listen to what happens. The second time they summoned the blind man who said, give glory to God because we know this man is a sinner. They're trying to say that Jesus did this healing because he was a sinner. And the blind man says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind. And now I see. How do you respond to that? You know, when you and I do something, people said, why'd you do that? Why did you respond that way? Or when you do something and somebody says, wow, thank you. How many times do you let them know what the source of that strength is? Do you go and show? They asked him, this gets funny as we go here. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Oh boy, now he's got them going. And they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The blind man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly men who do his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not for God, he could do nothing. And to this they responded, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. It isn't always easy. It isn't always easy to go and show. But haven't you ever heard somebody say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one? Go and show. Show the world what Jesus has done in your life and how he's helped you. I had an incident that this happened many years ago. I was driving down Ewing Street in South Bend, and it was in the winter, and I had this old Studebaker with slick tires, and I got stuck. And two young men jumped out of the car behind me, came up and pushed the car, and I got out of the thing. And as I rolled down the window and started to yell thank you back to them, the young man pushed a card in my hand and went back and got in his car. When I got home, I looked at the card. And on the card, this young man had written, I just want you to know I'm a Christian, and the reason I helped you was because I'm a Christian. And I keep these cards because I look for opportunities God gives me to serve my fellow man. God loves you. Jesus loves you. I love you. Thank you for letting me serve you. And then there was an invitation to the man's church. What a wonderful idea. What a wonderful idea. Because you see, first of all, he told me, I look for opportunities to serve. I look for opportunities to go and show. Now, if you'd like for us to provide you with those, you just tell me what you want and I'll reproduce it and I'll give you 50 of those you can put in your car. We have the capacity to do that. Go and show. The third commission I'd like to mention to you this morning is go and tell. On Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, we're going to be studying a miracle that has to do with the Gerasenes. This was a wild, wild story. Jesus comes to this island and there's this guy that has been in the tombs. They've tried to chain him and he rips the chains off. And he has this possession and the demons, they say they're legion. He's possessed with many, many problems. Ever had lots of problems? And these demons talk to Jesus and they end up in a herd of pigs that run into the ocean. Now, that's one of the wilder stories in the Bible. And we'll talk about that Wednesday night. But what's interesting to me is what happens when all this is done. Listen to verse 38. This is Luke 8. The man from whom the demons had gone begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Why are we not comfortable with that? I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. We sang that song. Are we ashamed? Peter denied Jesus. He didn't go and tell like this man did. And by the way, when we study that, well, one of the things we'll point out to you is this was a Gentile area. This was a pagan area. You're talking about a tough place to go and tell. But it's important to understand that when Peter was faced with that in a Jewish population, Matthew 26, verse 69, verse 74 says, he began to call down curses on himself. You know, today, we don't really do much by preaching. Probably the least effective thing we do here is what I do. Because people out there don't hear this lesson. We have it on the website. Occasionally somebody tips in there. But I think it's important to understand that you preach every day. Your speech tells others about Jesus. Just the fact that you don't swear. Just the fact that maybe you let somebody know you don't appreciate their swearing. Where you go for recreation. What kind of movies you watch. What kind of television programs you watch. Those are ways of telling. Does our speech betray us? You know, we have a song that I've asked Richard to lead us, which is kind of an interesting song. It's number 783. And it challenges us to think about why we do what we do. And I think it challenges us to think in that regard. Let's sing number 783 together. Richard, if you would, please. Go back and look at the words we just sang. If the name of a Savior is precious to you, is Jesus important in your life? Has He brightened your way? Have there been positive things that have come to you because of your relationship to Jesus? Verse 2, if your faith in the Savior has brought its reward, if the strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, how many times have you faced things that you couldn't have faced without God's help, without Jesus' support? And what kind of a world do you live in? If the souls all around you are living in sin? Yeah, that describes us too, doesn't it? We are commanded by Jesus, one of the three commissions, to go and tell. And we've talked about just a few of the ways we can do that. While you've got your book open, turn it back a couple of pages to number 776. Let me ask you a question. Are you any different today than you were a year ago? Think back to last year, Mother's Day to Memorial Day. Are you any different spiritually? Have you grown any emotionally? Are you different mentally? What have you learned in the last 12 months? When you're in your quiet time, and I hope you have some quiet time, when you just sit and look at God's Word and talk to God, can you look back and say, yeah, I've grown. I'm doing better. I've had strength I didn't know I had. I've seen God bless me, and here's how God has blessed me. And then as we look ahead, look at the challenge of this song. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? Brothers and sisters, as long as we live in this world, there's going to be strife. As long as we're in this world, we're going to lose people. There's going to be death. We're going to have kids that do stupid things. We're going to make our own mistakes. When the strong ties lift and the cable strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? You know, if we're not rooted in Christ, the toughness of life can destroy us. Goes on and talks in the next stanza. It is safely moored, will the storm withstand, for it is well secured with the Savior's hand. The cables pass from his heart to mine can defy the blast through strength divine. God gives you the strength to go on, even when it gets tough. It will surely hold in the straits of fear when the breakers have told the reef is near. You know what that says? It says there's warnings out there. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have problems. It will surely hold in the floods of death when the waters cold chill our latest breath. We have seniors among us who don't have much time left. You're listening to one of them. And it's kind of important to understand that having hope that this is the worst we ever have to put up with. is a beautiful thing. Will your ankle hold with death? And then the promise. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. You believe that? The commissions we've talked about today are commissions to us to help us with that goal. We're going to stand and sing this song together. If you have some struggles you'd like for us to pray with you about, if there's a need for you to respond to the Lord's invitation to become a Christian, we urge you to do that. As together we stand and sing, won't you please come?